is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, we opened the second hour of the show yesterday talking a lot about the news regarding the Boston Red Sox and how the investigation has extended to them as well and not solely on the Houston Astros.
Yep.
And I think one guy that can look really, really bad in all this is Alex Cora, because obviously he came from the Houston Astros, and there's arguments to be made that, you know, he might have learned his alleged sign stealing from from teams that he's been on before.
He could actually be in for double sanctions. Like, he could actually be in trouble with the Astros as part of the management and coaching staff that cheated in 2017. And then if it's found that the Red Sox cheated in 2018, he could be held accountable for those as well.
Yeah.
So he could get double the suspensions that you might see from the Astros. And I expect the Major League Baseball to come down pretty severely on the Astros.
Yeah, and that,
I think they're going to try to really prove a point.
They're going to have to. And I don't know how bad it's going to set this team back. They're obviously not going to be the same team as they were last year. We know this. With the exit of Garrett Cole and some of the roster moves that they're going to have to make, how do you see this team even coming close to the team that they were last year? I still think they're going to be a good team. I just don't know if they're going to be anywhere as good as last year.
Yeah. I think they're still going to be really good. I mean, this is a really deep baseball team. Okay. Getting Lance McCullers back is going to help. But I think part of it is the impact to me from the suspensions isn't going to necessarily be felt from like the Jeff Luhnow perspective, but AJ Hinch being out could be pretty critical to this, because I really feel his role and how he handles that clubhouse and these players and what he does on a daily basis pretty significant to the success of the Astros.
Absolutely.
And I don't think he still gets enough credit for what he does. So that might be where they feel it more than anything. But on the field, they already said none of the players are going to be suspended. But yeah, I really feel like they're still a deep team. They're still a really good baseball team, and they're still going to be one of the better teams in the American League. But how long AJ Hinch is out could have an effect on the schedule and what they do during that time.
So, I can't agree with you more. And I think, obviously, AJ Hinch got some criticism. Some people say he mismanaged that game in the World Series where they felt like they took out Greinke. Well, he took Greinke out a little too early. But look, there's been times where we all felt like he mismanaged games, and it turned out to be the right move. So I can't agree with you more. AJ Hinch would be absolutely devastating. His absence would be devastating to this team. At least the talent is still there on the roster. And when you look at it on paper, it's certainly a lot better than some of the other MLB teams that are out there right now. Obviously, there's still, you know, time for moves to be made and stuff like that. But one question that you brought up before the show started was whether or not the Los Angeles Dodgers should have a beef. Right?
Yes.
Should they? Should they have a beef, considering they lost the 17 and 18 World Series to two teams that are being accused of cheating?
If this were, think of it this way, because Astros fans are going to be like, nah, you know, it didn't matter. If this were the Astros that had lost two World Series back-to-back to two different teams that are being accused of cheating, Astros fans would be livid. I think the Dodgers, I think the Dodgers organization, I think the Dodgers fan base all have a beef, especially if both of these teams are found to have been guilty of cheating. Now, did they cheat in the World Series versus cheating on the way to the World Series? I think that does matter. Did they cheat in the games that were played in the World Series? Did it materially affect the outcome of the World Series, or was the cheating just part of the path that they took to get there? I think that has to matter. But if I'm a Dodgers fan, I'm livid.
I mean, I guess
you lost to two cheaters.
You can make the argument that if you cheated in the postseason, that sounds or is a lot worse than cheating in the regular season. But we all know that if you benefited from cheating in the regular season, that could help you for, you know, where you're at in the postseason. So it's hard for me to sit there and say you should be punished more for cheating in the postseason as opposed to the regular season. My point yesterday was, I'm not going to sit here and believe that the Boston Red Sox stopped cheating when it came down to the playoffs because there was an MLB official present in the replay room when that MLB official wasn't present during the regular season. I just choose not to believe that. I just won't. There's no way they had that will to cheat in the regular season, and then all of a sudden, no. Cheating in the postseason, now we're going too far. Stop it. I just don't believe that.
Yeah, I mean, cheaters cheat.
Yeah, it's just the way it is.
And unfortunately, the Astros are cheaters. And, you know, the Red Sox are probably cheaters. And I mean, we know about the Apple Watch scandal, and now we're going to see how much deeper that goes. But get ready, because we talked about it yesterday. Chicago White Sox are now being investigated by Major League Baseball for cheating, and they sucked.
Yeah.
So whoever's in charge of the cheating, whoever their cheating coach is, needs to be fired and replaced with a new cheating coach. Because their cheating didn't help them at all.
Yeah. Like, they suck at cheating.
Wouldn't that be a great new position on a team if you had, like, a cheating coach? Right? You got a hitting coach, you got a pitching coach, get a cheating coach.
But what would you dub him? You'd have to give him a title. That obviously he couldn't be labeled cheating coach.
He could be your espionage coach. I don't know. But that would be a good position to have. And maybe that's what Alex Cora was. He was their, you know, bench coach / cheating coach.
Yeah.
That would be good, though, if you come up and be like, yeah, no, I'm really good. I've cheated on my wife 17 times, never got caught. That's my resume. I just cheat on my wife, never got caught, so.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I think that's
the era of baseball we're in now. It's always, I mentioned yesterday, it's always, there's a new way of cheating in baseball that gets exposed, and it's a big deal, and the game always survives, right? Because you had sign stealing's always been an issue, but you had emery boards and Vaseline. You had steroids. Pine tar. This is just another blip in the radar. This is fine, and everybody does it. And watch, it's going to come out. The Astros and the Red Sox and the Yankees weren't the only teams to do this.
And as old as an example as this is, the death penalty that was served years ago in college football, they still got to look at that as an example. They still have to be concerned with we may come down with a severe punishment on the Astros or some of these teams that are cheating, but how much is this going to hurt us as a league? And they absolutely have to consider it. Now, he kind of put himself in a situation where he has to be a little severe because he sent that memo out. And he said that he's not, and I'm referring to the MLB commissioner. He sent that memo out saying, look, we're taking electronic sign stealing very seriously. So he has to kind of put down a severe punishment. But you don't want a situation, and I you can kill me for being the Houston guy trying to be, you know, a Houston homer. You can't sit there and absolutely demolish this team thinking that it's not going to hurt the entire league as a whole. You cannot sit there and go and thinking it won't.
Get ready, because what's going to happen is they're going to come down severely on the Astros. Like, I'm talking severe. Like, people are going to be like, wow. Not just from a.
Well, you talked about, didn't you talk about sources yesterday where you knew that, like, some of the ways, either you or you referred to sources where people were saying some of the ways that they were cheating, not just on the Astros, but various teams were fantastical. And the fact that you wouldn't even believe or even know that they did it this way.
Yeah, that what's going to be exposed eventually is you're going to be like, there's no way that was happening. Like, this, how? Like,
how's that even possible?
Crazy. Yeah. But I think what Major League Baseball is going to do is make an example of the Astros and go over the top in how they discipline this team. And then they slowly will back off, because as more and more dominoes fall and more teams get busted, the penalties will become a little less severe, I think. And then eventually they're going to have to make the decisions on, okay, what do we do? Is there, you know, how do we overcome this cheating, and how do we put an end to it? But I think to start off, because it's like anything else, you want to set an example. You want to set the bar. This is what, if you do this, this is how bad it could be. And then they'll kind of, NFL did this, right?
Sure.
Like, I mean, with Ray Rice was immediately suspended, never played again. And then now you've seen guys that have gone through similar things that haven't suffered the same fate. So I think they're going to set an example with the Astros and then back off, which is unfair to the Astros, but that's
you got caught first.
Yeah.
You got caught first.
That's it.
And that's just the way it is. So, got caught severely first, at least.
I want to read this text real quick. And AJ was talking about this the other day, and I've talked about this before on the show and on Twitter, but somebody texted because we were talking about World War III last segment and just giving our opinions. And, you know, we didn't claim to be political experts on what's going on. We talked about what we knew and what we read. But this is the idiocy of some of the people that listen and think that they can dictate what we do. It says, I listen every day, but it's getting hard to stay tuned in while you guys casually talk politics. As in the military, I buried a few buddies killed in the sand pits. Please stick to sports and keep politics out of the show. Division comes from people like you. Just keep your options silent and discuss sports. There's enough garbage to talk about in professional sports. First of all, screw you. We can talk about whatever we want. Like, just because we do a sports talk show doesn't mean we can't talk politics. We live in this country, too. We're affected by the decisions made by our president, our military, and everybody else. If AJ or me or Nick or anybody else that's in the sports business wants to talk politics, we're Americans and we have that right. And for you to try to pigeonhole us to only talk sports, dude, change the channel. Bye.
Yeah, like
it's ridiculous that you think that as citizens of this country, because we do sports, we can only talk sports. Just stop listening. I don't want you as a listener. Go away.
Look, I don't necessarily.
Ridiculous.
I usually never bring up politics, necessarily have an opinion on politics. But look, if Barry wants to bring it up on his show, he can absolutely do it. His name is on the show, and he's going to do it whenever he wants. So you can't tell us what to do. Stick to sports or not. So it's all good.
Yeah. It's going on in our country. We've talked about political issues. We've talked about social issues. We talk about economic issues. We talk about everything on the show. And we give an opinion. And it's just that. It's an opinion. You don't have to agree with it. And a lot of people don't agree with my opinions. And that's fine. You know, it doesn't mean that I hate you and you should hate me because we disagree. But for you to sit there and tell me, AJ did this the other day, which I thought was beautiful on the Blitz. But he was like, only tweet me and you can only talk about what you do for a living. If you're an accountant, you can't talk politics. You can't talk sports. Only talk accounting. Oh, that's essentially what you're telling
us. It's an amazing point.
Yeah, and that's essentially what guys like that are telling us is we can only talk sports. Well, I don't know what you do for a living, but I never want to hear you talk sports because you're probably stupid when it comes to sports.
Telling us what to talk about is not giving us the freedom to say what we want to say on this show, and that's not what we're about on this station. Yeah. So,
and I didn't really feel like when we talked about World War III, it was more of tongue in cheek and having fun with it. It wasn't the seriousness of it. We weren't giving opinions, and I don't know. You guys take this way too seriously.
But I'll tell you one thing that you will absolutely hate.
You
or you should hate. Oh. Well, besides me,
but what?
Conor McGregor's walkout T-shirt. Did you see this?
Oh my God. Wow.
We'll talk about that. We'll tweet it out. Barry is awesome. Funny. We'll tweet it out from his Twitter handle, at Barry is Funny. We'll talk about that and much more on The Usual Suspects. It's Nick. It's Barry. It's Tyler. ESPN
97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
713-780-3776 if you wish to talk politics here on The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, somebody tried to call and wanted to tell me to stick to sports. Put them through. I'll roast them. Let's go.
I figured you'd get one or two. Believe me, look, if you want to call in and talk about what we want to talk about or whether or not Barry should talk politics, look, I will let Barry roast you because I get pleasure out of that. I am entertained by that, okay? So don't sit here and start texting us about what we can and can't say on the show.
Yeah, it's just asinine.
Just stop. All right, did you get an opportunity to tweet out that picture of Conor McGregor's walkout T-shirt?
Wait, is it Conor McGregor or is it Dan Le Batard?
At Barry is Funny.
It looks like I was like, when did Dan Le Batard start fighting? If that's Conor McGregor's walkout shirt, cancel the UFC.
What was Reebok thinking, or whoever submitted the design? What were they thinking?
I don't know, but he's wearing. This is the weird. It doesn't look anything like him at all. It looks like Steven Seagal and Santa had a baby. And I'm like, this has to be a Walmart exclusive, right? Like, this is Walmart only.
When you initially told me about it, I said, man, there's no way the Conor McGregor shirt is going to be that bad.
Dude.
But when I looked at it, and they're like showing his age on purpose. It almost looks like a 65-year-old Street Fighter or something. Like, he just looks old.
It's the weirdest. It doesn't even, like, it looks like, it doesn't look like him at all.
Yeah.
There's no reason, other than the McGregor on his chest, even the tattoos look like are all messed up.
Yeah, they don't even look like they're accurate.
He's wearing like skinny sweatpants. And I don't know. This is just, it's an abomination of a.
It's like he somehow created time travel, got in a time machine, came to Houston, Texas, went to Astroworld, got an airbrushed t-shirt of himself.
Yeah.
And then time traveled back here.
That is so amazing. It really is.
It looks like an airbrushed t-shirt from Astroworld. It really does.
Now look, every one of us had at least one Affliction shirt or Tap Out shirt back in the day. See, right?
Listen, speak for yourself, sir.
Bitches, y'all gonna
keep
throw
my
me
name
in the...
out of your mouth.
No. I've had the Tap Out. Tap Out 100%. Okay. Affliction, yeah. Never.
Tyler, you had white
zero.
Stitch. You had
you
jeans
definitely
with white
look like
stitch.
An
zero
Affliction guy.
Affliction,
yeah. Ed Hardy.
Or
your ass
none.
Had an Ed Hardy shirt.
None.
Liar.
I was too poor to buy a
the Affliction shirt for like $50
t-shirt.
Or higher. Yeah,
did you gotta buy a $90 t-shirt with a tiger on it?
Did you have the with a tiger? Did you have the jeans with the white stitching?
No.
Did you wear a white belt?
Nope.
You did none of this?
No.
He did strike me as a guy that would. Remember when Chuck Liddell had the Affliction and the jeans and the white belt? He
totally
me as a
looked
guy
like that guy.
Yeah, but he wasn't.
I was never a fan of UFC, so I never
bought
into that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That might be it.
That's fair.
Because I had an Affliction shirt, and now I was involved in MMA, so sometimes I would get gear, right? Like Tap Out. I got Tap Out gear from Tap Out. Adam Villarreal.
Yeah.
Long time ago, had In the Cage, was it called? I think it was called In the Cage on ESPN, and he used to have connections with Tap Out. He was a writer for Tap Out, but he would give me some Tap Out gear. I wore it. I don't know. I had a faux hawk for a minute. I went through a phase.
I felt like Tap Out was my brand. Affliction, I feel like they brainwashed the entire MMA community for about 18 months.
They did. They tricked everybody. But my point is... I've worn a Tap Out shirt. I've worn an Affliction shirt.
Sure.
And I still think Tyler probably had like a full size. He had like a Rampage Jackson walkout shirt that he would wear as a nightie, like a night shirt, but he just won't tell people. But what grown ass man would wear this ugly ass t-shirt? I can't. I could see a kid wearing this. There's no way a grown man wears this as a shirt.
There is, but you're
Who?
Right. A kid should
Gilbert?
Be the only one. Yeah, Gilbert might wear it.
Trey.
Trey definitely might wear it. Anybody who's in their 40s and still wear jerseys probably still wear it for sure.
Okay.
Those guys definitely will still wear that. I would not wear that. I would definitely not wear that. I mean, I would rock a Conor McGregor t-shirt. I just wouldn't rock that one. And it's Reebok. That's the worst thing. They got their name attached to it.
Yeah.
You would think. And I guess Reebok is at a point where, you know what? Look, it's Conor McGregor. These t-shirts are probably going to sell anyway because it's Conor McGregor.
You think so?
We're not going to remake it. I think it's Conor's got gravitational pull,
it
man.
Looks
I mean,
like
he kinda...
got, this literally looks like they were at the Renaissance Fair. And they were like, oh, Conor, stop and get a character drawn of yourself. And then he did, and they were like, sweet, put it on a shirt. We're just going to go with this Renaissance character drawing of Conor McGregor on a t-shirt. I don't know I don't know how many they're going to sell, but boy, that's bad. That's really how does this get cleared? Who looks at that and goes, "Yep, that's pretty badass." Look at that sweet ass picture of not Conor McGregor.
And everybody on this link that you sent me. I mean, look at some of the tweets, and this is from various media writers and stuff like this. Luke Thomas, this is real. Check out this picture. Here's another tweet. What does it say? Oh, from Ben Wallace. Reebok's history of making high-quality products for the UFC continues with the official Conor McGregor shirt. Imagine wearing this after 1988.
Los on Twitter says, is that the janitor from The Simpsons? That is outstanding. It really does look like him.
There's another one a little further down. Total Serious, would you buy this shirt? It's $60, which that's another point. $60.
Yeah. Yes. $60?
Yeah.
But then somebody replied and said, I've always wanted a Bryan Cranston shirt.
Nice. Nice.
I mean, it gets better. I mean, they did not get much good feedback.
It looks more like Conan O'Brien than it does.
It's a bad
Conor
shirt.
McGregor. Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Maybe they did it last minute and they had a due date and they forgot about the deadline or something. I don't know. It's just a bad shirt. And
usually
they're not that bad. But this one is.
It's pretty awful. It's the worst walkout shirt I've ever seen. And I saw a lot of awful walkout shirts in local MMA.
Oh, I can only
Trust
imagine.
Me.
At the regional and local level?
Trust
oh, my God.
Me. I would rather wear some of these whack-ass local guys' shirts than this Conor McGregor shirt. And by the way, I'm not wearing I'm not wearing a Conor McGregor on my shirt to begin with. The only MMA fighter I would wear is I would get one of Derek Lewis's "My Balls Was Hot" shirts. I would wear that shirt, but I'm not wearing just Conor McGregor.
I can't wear a fighter's shirt.
Not like that.
It has to be like small. Their name has to be small. It can't have any like graphic of them really on there. I really won't wear it, honestly.
I'd rather wear a shirt with his alcohol beverage,
right,
on.
Or something of their brand. Like if they had a brand just, that they represent, I would totally.
Yeah,
I would totally
dude's
rock
face.
That.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I like the. You know whose gear I like the. But what's Dan Henderson's brand? He had a good brand.
I don't know
if it was
remember.
Hendo or. Dude, I loved everything about his shirts because
really?
They were simple to the point. And I was a big Dan Henderson fan, quite frankly. But I think he should have won that second fight against Michael Bisping. So he should have been the champion before he retired. 100%. I can't wear a shirt with a...
I was a big Vitor Belfort guy.
I was a big fan.
Even though he's a cheater.
Yeah.
Boy. Steroids like a mug.
I wouldn't mind trying some of that TRT, though. Did you see the way his body looked after that?
Yeah.
That was insane.
I'd have hit it.
He was 38, and he looked better than when he was at 19.
Yeah.
Man.
Big-time cheater, but I love watching
him fight. Hook me up with some TRT. They don't test for that over here.
It's fine. Some of that, what did Overeem say? That Mexican meat? Yeah.
The horse, no, he did the horse meat. Amsterdam, they do horse meat.
Yeah. That's fine with me.
Yeah. But, man.
Several people, we talked about the guys that said we can't talk politics. We are getting a lot of texts from people that want us to talk lawn talk, so we'll do that for the last hour.
No, we won't. We'll go back to Trump talk, for sure, before we do that. That's for damn sure. All right, let's move on. One thing I wanted to talk... How much time we have left? Oh, we got to go break. When we come back, though, I want to get your opinion on the divisional games in terms of which are you looking forward to watch the most.
Okay.
I listed the four games. We'll get your thoughts. We'll get my thoughts. We might even get Tyler. He's been quiet, but he's kind of eating right now, but we might get his thoughts. All that and more on the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. Damon, hang on the line. We might get to you as well. ESPN 97.5, ESPN975.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we keep it moving on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, ESPN975.com.
Hey, real quick, before we move off of the Conor McGregor shirt fiasco, it's funny because, you know, friends with Mike Jackson, UFC fighter,
oh,
Mike
yeah,
the Truth
Jackson.
We
know him, friend of the show, for sure.
Yeah. But he was talking about, because he's at the latest UFC event, and he had a chance to sit down and actually talk with Conor McGregor.
Awesome.
And he said, bro, I had to ask him about the shirt. He said, one, he didn't design it. See, that's the first thing he wanted people to know. Two, he said it didn't look that bad, and he would have worn it.
Conor said that?
Yes!
Well, I mean,
what?
I mean, he was... Normally,
come on, Conor, you're a liar.
Maybe he's just being a brand ambassador for himself, I guess. I don't know.
There's no way. If that was my face on that shirt, I would be embarrassed.
You would have just said, you know what? Look, I didn't design the shirt. I think it's ugly. It is what it is.
Exactly.
Buy it for $60.
Like, our shirts have your face on it. That's why I can't wear them. It's ugly. I can't.
That's like a shirt like your grandma makes and then gives to you for a Christmas present. And you're like, oh,
thanks, Grandma.
Thank you.
It's me.
It's
thanks.
Awesome.
It's me wearing me. How great.
You almost have to practice the thank you when Grandma gives you a t-shirt like that, because
exactly.
You know it's going to be a terrible gift.
That shirt comes with a pair of socks. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. That's funny.
All right, 713-780-3776. Damon, we see you've been holding patiently on the HRMP hotline. You want to talk a little bit about the Astros' potential suspensions. You are on The Usual Suspects. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How
y'all
doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, I don't know the details all of what the Astros got themselves into, but it reminds me, hearing y'all talk about it, reminds me of, I'm a Saints fan, and it reminds me of how the NFL came down on us with Bounty Gate. You can't tell me whatever happened with that Bounty Gate thing, with that the Saints were the only team that used that practice, but the NFL came down super hard on us. They took our head coach, general manager, assistant head coach, took multiple draft picks, so they came down real hard. I know it was tied into that head concussion case, but that's kind of what you guys were saying, like they're going to come down hard and set an example on the Astros. It kind of brought me back and reminded me of Bounty Gate. Man, that took us at least 2 to 3 years to recover from the lost draft picks and the loss of coaches and all kind of stuff. That set our franchise back significantly. So just hearing y'all talk about that kind of reminded me of how the NFL did with Bounty Gate. It was so bad. Paul Tagliabue, they enlisted him, and he came in and reversed some of the suspensions that came down so hard on us. So that just listening to y'all talk about that made me think about that. So, Astro friends, brace yourselves.
Yeah.
Dude, Damon, it's a great point. Appreciate the call, man. It really is a great point because they were – and now, I was surprised back – of course, it was 2012. That's 8 years ago, I should say. But the fine was about $500,000, I believe, but a lot of suspensions. The draft picks is what was devastating.
Peyton, the coach, was suspended for a year. I mean, it was a bad situation for New Orleans.
And that's a great point, and that's kind of what I was saying is that's what I think is going to happen to the Astros. I think that was the chance for the NFL to say, listen, putting bounties on players, even though you guys, there's probably a lot of teams doing it, this has been exposed now, and we're going to set an example. And like Damon said, get ready, Astros fans, because this is exactly what they're going to lose draft picks. That's going to set back your farm system. They're going to make an example out of this team. They really are.
Absolutely. And the only thing that I would add to it is, and I don't necessarily have proof or evidence of this, they did make an example of the New Orleans Saints. But it's more difficult, I feel like, to be caught in the NFL for cheating than in baseball, because what do they use for cheating in baseball? Electronic sign stealing. They use technology, and that technology is readily available and very close to the dugout and the clubhouse and everything else, where all these players can have access to it. Look how we're catching people, teams cheating in the NFL. Literally, a security guy had to call out the New England Patriots about shooting footage. Yeah. It's not the same way. And it was a security guy that has nothing to do with the NFL, doesn't work for the NFL, but he saw that and pointed it out. You know, and you know, outside being a security for what was it, the Bengals? He was a security guy for the Bengals.
Yeah, yep.
He really did, he had nothing to do with the NFL, and so it's much more difficult to be caught. And that's why the Saints got you know, they made an example of the Saints. They're going to do the same for the Astros, but with MLB being, in my opinion, way easier to get caught for cheating, I would really do a thorough investigation on multiple teams and make sure you can hand out multiple punishments. I don't think they should stick to one team. I really believe that. And I still think the Astros should be punished the hardest, because that was a big deal, and they should definitely make an example out of the Astros, but I don't think it should be just the Astros.
Okay.
I just don't.
Well, they're going to. I mean, I really believe it's going to be pretty
it's going to be harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that,
but
too.
But only because they're the only ones right now that the investigation is complete on.
And when I say that other teams should be punished, I'm not necessarily saying they should be punished just as hard or severely as the Astros. I just think more than one team should be punished.
No, I totally agree.
You're trying to send a message to the league.
Yep.
You can't just make an example out of one team. That's just my personal opinion. But anyway.
Hey, real quick. So people, I was saying about Lawn Talk. First of all, I want to read this text from JRA78. He said, "Hey, Usual Suspects, just want to say I love your show. I listen daily. I got a promotion. Congratulations, JRA."
Congrats, man.
He said, "I'm relocating to Dallas. Bigger and better opportunities, but just wanted to say I look forward to your show every day. You guys are the best." Man, congrats, dude. That's outstanding. We hope you listen on the app and continue to listen from Dallas, but congrats on the promo, man.
Yeah, Barry's really happy for you because he loves Dallas and he hates Houston, okay. So he's especially happy for you. Right? Didn't you say Dallas was like cooler, cleaner?
Cleaner.
The people are better.
Cleaner. That's all I said. I didn't say the people are better. No, the people are worse.
We might have to roll back the tape. I don't remember exactly what
you said. Let's go back to the tape. You'll be trying to get me in trouble again. There's enough reasons why people are pissed at me. So let me answer a lawn question. Shut up, Nick.
Okay.
But Mr. B said, "My neighbor's lawn's green and plush. And it got better when the temperatures dropped. Mine is brown. What happened? Should I have fertilized?" All right. Well, first of all, yes. If you're out there with the grass, you should do like a slow release winterizer at like around Thanksgiving ish. But there are some places, this is stuff called winter rye. And there are some people that will put winter rye in their grass for the winter, and it really looks green. You ever driven by like a neighborhood and the grass is like amazingly green?
Yeah.
That's called winter rye.
Okay.
And it'll die once it starts to warm up. So don't do that. It's bad for your grass. So he's probably cheating. He's using winter rye. Have no fear. Don't do that.
Winter rye is not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. Avoid it. I mean, it doesn't, it's not good for your St. Augustine or whatever. It won't kill it. But it takes away, you know, it's competing with your existing grass for water and everything, even in the winter. Your grass is supposed to go brown in the winter. It's supposed to.
Right.
Even if you winterize with fertilizer, it's not going to be green. So there's
also, Barry can tell you about how to keep your hogs off the lawn. That way you can keep your grass green that
way.
I
wish I could tell you that.
Are you still recovering?
Them bitches hadn't been back yet. But
Barry is literally traumatized over his lawn. Because these hogs just tore up his lawn. It's hilarious.
Every day I drive by and I see the damage.
I should send you a pic of my lawn, and I really do not care.
How bad is it?
I mean, by your standards, probably terrible.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
Probably terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've looked at my lawn and...
Now, do you have green spots? Are you like, oh,
there's spots.
Those are weeds, dumbass. There's no grass is green right now.
Am I supposed to remove that, or what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, you shouldn't have weeds. There should be nothing green in your grass if it's healthy right now. You have weeds. Get it together. Wrong kind of weeds too, by the way.
At least I didn't smoke it with a page from the Bible, sir.
Tyler,
there's no way Tyler's done something that stupid. There's no way.
Have you ever used a Bible page to smoke weed?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I was with a group that did that.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Thank you. Because yesterday I revealed.
Wow. No, I heard. I was listening to that.
Now, I did reveal it wasn't weed. It was Lipton tea. But that's beside the point.
Well, that's dumb.
It was junior. Well, it might have been elementary school. But it was fifth grade, sixth grade.
Lipton tea, bro.
It wasn't even my idea. Ross said it was cool and we would get high. But
hanging out with people who've smoked.
What's the weirdest thing?
Dried up banana peel.
What?
Supposedly that got you high.
What?
But it didn't.
Oregano?
No, not oregano. What else? There was something
catnip.
Else. Something, I think it was something that had to do with peanuts.
You guys almost said penis. And I was like, wow, don't smoke that.
At what point did you guys say, no, none of this has THC in it?
Like, we didn't know what THC was, bro.
Nobody knew what THC was.
Wow. In fifth grade, you think I knew what THC was? I couldn't even spell THC in the fifth grade.
Yeah, it's probably.
Still can't.
Shut up, Tyler. Mr. Correct My Spelling all the time on Twitter. I should block you. People ask me, am I going to be doing that in 2020? Blocking people? Because, you know, 2019 was the year of the block.
The blocking, yeah, I remember that.
You corrected my spelling or grammar, you got blocked, period. Ask Patrick.
You should
Creighton.
Do something different. It shouldn't be a block.
I kind of liked it. It was, people stopped doing it.
You should just do like a segment where you roast the people that correct you on spelling. Like a segment where you just, oh, look at your profile pic. You look like this and that. And just roast
them.
I
could do that.
Fred Fowler just told me that they used to try and smoke fig leaves.
Fig leaves?
Yeah.
Wow.
Any kind of leaf.
You tried? Like,
we tried to smoke it. So
fig leaves.
Man, I just
exotic enough that you think it might do something.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever smoked out of? Like a penis shaped bong or an apple or?
Oh, I can tell you so many things.
Oh, what's yours?
So many
what's
things.
Yours? What's
like,
yours?
Like water hose. Like my friend owned
you smoked out of a water hose?
Like my friend owned a water purification system company.
Uh-huh.
Like he sold water purification systems.
Yeah.
Oh. So they had all kinds of like little L shaped pipes and rubber hoses, and we would just make all kinds of pipes out of that.
Really?
Yeah.
So in a high school party, a friend came by with this giant, like, it's like a 5 foot, 6 foot bong, and it was from an aquarium.
What?
Like there was it was a tube, and it like the lights changed on the outside of it.
It had lights on it?
Yeah. And he plugged it in, lit it up.
Wait. You had to plug in the bong.
To turn the lights on.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Of course. But then
that's crazy.
He just kind of, he was like, yeah, I just made it in my garage. I was like, all right, cool. Let's do it.
What? Yeah. You had to get on like a ladder?
Yeah, we had a step stool.
Are you serious?
And then there was another time where we had to, have you ever been to New Orleans?
Yes.
You know, the hand grenades?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. The green little
they try to be all secretive about the recipe, but it really isn't that big of a secret.
They sell it to you. It's just literally all sugar and green food coloring. That's all it is.
Yeah.
We fashioned a bong out of that, and we smoked spice out of it. Like the
spice,
you know the fake weed,
the fake weed.
Yeah,
No, what is spice? Is that like
they used to call it like K2 spice?
You could legally buy it and purchase it. And some people were affected by it, but
yeah, I was gonna say, isn't that the stuff where like it messes you up mentally? It's called
kind of.
Oh, what is the name for it? There was a name.
There's another name for spice,
damn
and
it.
I did it years ago.
It's like a street name, right?
Yeah,
it was like supposedly legal weed.
And it really wasn't. Gas stations sold it. It was absolutely terrible. It tasted
not Kush.
Like crap.
Was it Kush?
Kush might have been.
Yeah,
it.
I think Kush it was
might,
called
but Kush.
Kush
is also a strain for real, a real strain, but a real marijuana strain. But there is another name. It might be Kush. But spice is the newer.
Yeah, I think it was Kush.
Yeah, and that's the synthetic marijuana that was bad for people. I had a friend whose daughter smoked it, and it destroyed her brain.
And also that cheerleader, remember? That, or at least one day she was like walking all weird, and then like a year later she was walking normal. So I don't know if it was like a real situation, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy.
Yeah. I
think the weirdest thing I ever did was like out of a Coke can and out of an apple. That's it. I'm not exotic like you guys.
Oh, man.
Water purification systems and
six-foot
lit up bongs. I'm pretty missionary when it comes to it, I guess.
We had nothing else to do, man.
I guess not.
I mean, that's what you did. You did dumb things when you were young.
Apparently so. I didn't. I never did any dumb things.
No. Yeah, you were smart. You're intelligent. All right. We'll wrap it up. Not for the second hour. Almost. We're almost through 2 hours here on The Usual Suspects. No Joel Blank. He'll be back tomorrow. Nick Sharara, Barry Laminack, and Tyler Scott are in all the way until 4 p.m. before the Blitz takes over. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Winslow of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
All right, we're almost wrapping up hour number two of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.5.com. No Joel Blank. He's taking a day. He will be back tomorrow. Nick Sharara in. Barry Laminack, as usual. Tyler Scott behind the glass all the way until 4 p.m. Now, earlier in the hour, I teased Barry and I ranking the upcoming divisional games in the NFL. As follows, the Texans obviously are at the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. You've got the Tennessee Titans. They'll go to Baltimore and face the Ravens. Minnesota Vikings versus the San Francisco 49ers. And the Seattle Seahawks at the Green Bay Packers.
Now, how are we ranking these?
Just on what you're looking for to watch the most.
Like what I think. Well,
from 1 to 4. And you can kind of give, you don't necessarily have to give it straight up, but just kind of tell your reasons why you're looking forward into
I
forward
think
to
the
a particular
best game,
game
is going to be Packers Seahawks.
Really?
I think that's going to be the closest game.
Okay.
But if the Texans play as good as the Texans are capable of, I think Chiefs-Texans could be a shootout. It could be a fun game. My concern is that the Texans are notorious for laying an egg and crap in the bed, and it's going to be 30-0 at halftime. Done deal. And it's going to be an ugly-ass football game, typical Houston playoff loss. So that is a concern. But if they play like they're capable of playing, if Will Fuller's there and that offense is healthy and J.J. Watt is fully back and, you know, another – this could be a fun football game. It could be the most – I think it has the potential to be the most exciting of the four games if the Texans do their part. But I think the best football game is going to be Packers-Seahawks.
That's interesting because I actually have Packers-Seahawks as number 4 for me.
Really? That's your worst football game?
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's going to be a bad game. I actually think you have a point. It could be a close game. But in terms of what I'm looking forward to, I say Texans-Chiefs. And the last time these two teams played – they very much coined this as a quarterback shootout between Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. And perhaps you didn't get quite the shootout. It wasn't a terrible game, but I guess you didn't get quite the shootout that you were looking for. Mm-hmm. You can still coin this as a quarterback shootout, regardless of what you thought of the first game. And it's plays like Deshaun Watson, like in that game where I guess he did a spin move, but he escaped that sack late in overtime and then is able to complete a 34-yard pass to essentially end the game. That was an amazing play by a quarterback that can do that. Patrick Mahomes can make a play like that,
right.
And that's the reason why I tend to look forward to it. Yes, I'm a Houstonian, so obviously me being a Texans fan adds to that. But in terms of games that I'm looking forward to and that I think is going to be the most exciting, I would totally say the Texans Chiefs.
Do you think what's the better QB matchup? Is it Mahomes and Watson or is it Wilson and Aaron Rodgers?
That's a good question, but I'm going to say Watson and Mahomes only because of the new hype that's surrounding the Buffalo.
I would agree. They're more dynamic. I mean, no look passes and scrambling out of sure sacks, and you're just not going to get that. I mean, you get a little bit of that with Russell Wilson, but the dynamic playability, I think the better quarterbacks might be overall in that Packers Seahawks game.
Right.
Not by much, by the way. We're not talking about a significant difference, but skins on the wall, I think Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson is better quarterbacks than Mahomes and Watson.
Sure.
From just based on skins on the wall, but pure talent and excitement, there's no question that's the best quarterback matchup is Chiefs.
I mean, I'll admit Texans. That I'm mesmerized by this. You know, I've embraced the new quarterback situation with quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
It's
and
Lamar the new NFL.
I just find it sensational, and maybe this is just an era of quarterbacks that will come and go, but right now I just absolutely like it. And that's why my number two would be the Ravens and Titans. Even though the Titans really don't necessarily deserve that much credit for being a Patriots team that most people believe were kind of past their prime, mm-hmm. right? Most people give credit to the Patriots being bad than the Titans getting the win. Look, even though Ryan Tannehill is nothing, I mean, the guy had 72 passing yards in that last game, is nothing like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has shown to be that exciting. And remember, Lamar Jackson, the last memory we had of him going into this season was a guy in a playoff game against Los Angeles completing less than half of his yards and throwing two interceptions. No one thought Lamar Jackson was going to turn around and have the season like he did, and I think it makes it that more exciting. So that's the reason why I picked the Ravens as my second game.
But see, that would be my worst game.
Okay.
And the reason is, I think it's going to be, it has the makings of a really ugly game. You have a team in the Titans that really don't have the ability to come from behind with the passing game like some of these other teams do, just because they're a run-oriented, run-heavy offense. And if they get down early and they're relying on the passing game, as good as he played down the stretch, are you really putting all your eggs in a Ryan Tannehill basket in the playoffs?
No.
It scares me for the Titans, and so I think if that defense doesn't do its part to contain Lamar Jackson, that could be the issue for them. Because look, you know, that's a dynamic offense and a really good defense on the other side. And if they commit to stopping the run, if the Ravens commit to stopping the run, it could be a very long day for the Tennessee Titans. And that's the worry that I have, is this could end up being a stinker because the Titans are so one-dimensional, they won't be able to do anything.
Yeah, and that's why they've been... Look, if they have to continue to be so dependent on Henry, it's going to be a long game for the Tennessee Titans. At some point, Ryan Tannehill has to make a play. He doesn't necessarily have to have the best box score, but he's going to have to make some plays if he's going to do anything. Because what the Ravens do, or at least they've shown to do, is when they get on top, they kind of keep on pushing the gas, and they step on you when you're down. And there's very few teams that can come back from that. Mm-hmm. And you have to show some resilience. And some of that resilience has to come from the quarterback. It can't just come from Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I agree with you. And keep in mind, Jayon Brown, really important to that Titans defense, left that game with a shoulder injury. And he's kind of their Zach Cunningham. Like, he's going to spy Lamar Jackson. He's going to cover tight ends, which is what the Ravens rely on a lot too in that passing game. RPOs, he's going to be heavily involved in that. If he's banged up and if he's not 100% healthy, that could be an issue for this Titans defense as well. I'm not saying it won't. He was held out of practice today. But write that name down, Jayon Brown. If he's not available or if he's limited, That's another ding against the Titans defensively trying to stop Lamar Jackson. 100%.
And I think it's him and two other players that their names escape me that were held out of practice. But that was one of the big ones that they were.
Nate Davis and Adam Humphries didn't practice along with Adoree Jackson with a foot injury.
Look, defense is going to have to come into play here against the Ravens. And obviously, like I said, Ryan Tannehill is going to have to make some plays. Sometimes you don't necessarily have to be completely consistent at quarterback. You just have to have that one or two good passes. Just like when you're rushing. Like in that game with the Texans, they didn't necessarily run the bad. I think Joel said this. They had timely runs. They had runs where there was 10 or 15 yard runs that really, really helped them keep themselves in the game. Yeah. And maybe that's all Ryan Tannehill needs to do. But it's going to be important.
He's going to have to do better than 72 yards passing.
Oh, yeah. That was just god awful.
It's amazing that they beat the Patriots with 72 yards passing from Ryan Tannehill.
So would you argue
it just shows you how heavy run oriented this team is.
So you definitely would watch the Minnesota Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers over the Tennessee Titans and Baltimore Ravens. That would be safe to say, considering the Ravens is your number four, right?
Yeah. I would have, that would be my order would probably be Seahawks, Packers, Texans, Chiefs, just because of the unknown with what Texans team you're going to get, Vikings, Niners, and then Titans, Ravens.
All right. And you might have a situation like that with the Vikings, right? You might, because, Kirk Cousins wasn't necessarily playing all great throughout the regular season. Then the Vikings kind of get it together. He apologizes to Adam Thielen after he calls him out for his performance.
That was the turning point in their season, too. Yeah. Them getting called out. That was literally the turning point.
And it's a different era. How many times have we talked about, players always saying, look, you got a problem with me, don't make it public. This is a new era.
Yep.
And this new era, they don't mind calling
Social media
era. Yeah, they don't care. He got called out, and he didn't even get upset. He apologized to Adam after being called out. It turned things around, and he made a timely 43-yard pass to Thielen to set up the overtime touchdown in that game, and Minnesota was able to win and get that win over the Saints. So,
well, I don't count Minnesota out of this because Dalvin Cook is healthy, and he said he was never injured; he was just banged up. But he said, "I'm back. I'm healthy," and he showed that in this last game. I mean, he showed that he was back. He was dominant. I think if they get Diggs involved a little earlier in that offense, they could give the Niners some fits, but I think the Niners have kind of been one of those teams they've quietly been really good all year and not gotten the praise because of Lamar Jackson and what the Ravens have done and so the way the Vikings have turned their season around, some of these other teams. But the Niners are a scary team in these playoffs, man, and it's not going to surprise me if they make it to the Super Bowl out of the NFC.
Yeah.
They're that good of a football team.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. We're clearly past our break. We've shattered this break, and we got to take a quick one. So it is the usual suspects. Nick Sharara in for Joel Blank. Barry Laminack as well. Tyler behind the glass. It is the usual suspects. One more hour before the Blitz takes over on ESPN 97.5.